561-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day right here on Let's Face the Issues. It is our prayer that each and every day there will be something that will be news for you, intriguing, encouraging, insightful, educational, and challenging, that will cause each and every one of us to be drawn closer to the Lord with a greater commitment and born out of a conviction in our hearts that we need to be salt and light in the dark and decaying society in which we're living in. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've read it. Let me refresh our memories. The Bible warns us in Revelation 18:23 that in the last days the whole world will be deceived by pharmakeia. That word also translated sorceries. Pharmakeia is the word. It's relating to drugs. Ladies and gentlemen, today, most if not all of our politicians are carrying out what they call the war against rape and robbery, murder and mayhem and multitudes of other crimes. That's wonderful. I'm glad to see what President Trump is doing in some of the major cities where rape and robbery and all kinds of crimes are taking place. I'm glad to see that. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand it appears as though most, if not all, of our politicians have forgotten or just ignored the root cause of many of these crimes that are being carried out. That root cause, ladies and gentlemen, is not something that is covered up and others do not see. It is an absolute fact that it can be discovered that many, many, many of these crimes are carried out as a result of Americans becoming poor and without homes and resources, and it's because of marijuana, drugs, pharmakeia. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just call it pot. We're talking about today the issue I believe that should be at hand. Some might say, well, you know, it's a little early. No, it's not early. The next election, we're going to have on the ballot in the state of Florida a petition for people to say yes or no on making an amendment to change our Constitution in the state of Florida. Listen, we're not talking about a law being passed that will make marijuana legal for recreational use. We're talking about a constitutional amendment, and that is so important. We're going to talk about it with our special guest in just a moment. It's very, very important to understand the difference between a law being passed and an amendment of the Constitution being inaugurated. We need to understand it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, keep Florida safe from pot. Keep Florida safe from pot. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The scripture says, thy word is truth. And Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a pretty lengthy period of time, forever. But ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell that made a profound statement in the dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're in that position today. We have moved so far away from the centrality of truth. Multitudes do not recognize truth. In fact, I believe that's one of the major errors, problems, difficulties, demonic delusion that's taking place in the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party is a failure to recognize truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement in part. He said, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet, that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And ladies and gentlemen, the latest research shows that 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, there, the millennial statement is, each person determines their own version of truth. And yet, I'm astounded by a mega article entitled, Western Society Will Be Destroyed Without a Commitment to Truth. Ladies and gentlemen, digressing for a moment from the article, I'm concerned with the level of truth that we're in America, whether it's theological, doctrinal, biblical, philosophical, political, social, it doesn't make any difference. There's a major mega divide in our nation about truth. This headline says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. In part, the article reads like this. American institutions are suffering from a collapse in public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. Goes on to say this, it found its serious roots in higher education, and there is no more serious problem than the notion fashionable in academia today that truth is relative, or that it's a matter of individual perception, or cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I think that sets the stage. That lays the foundation for the fundamental foundational root of much of what we find in our nation today. It's getting away from the centrality of biblical truth. It's getting away from what the Word of God says. We cannot be contrary, live contrary to, or challenge the Word of God and think somehow, some way, it's going to be okay in our cities, in our homes, in our states, in our nation, and around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, that we search for truth, live it, love it, learn it, tell it, and be willing to defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. You perhaps say, well, how do I find this Tools for Time? Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory. Find that flag and the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. In just a moment, after a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines, invite you to call in. We're going to have the pleasure of having a special guest with us today. He was with us recently. We'll be talking about the Pot Amendment that every citizen in the state of Florida will be voting on in our next election. We need to know what it is, who's behind it, what it will do, and what is the deception, the root deception in it, and what is the most staring, glaring problem with that amendment if it passes. What will it do to the state of Florida? We're talking about the Pott Amendment, where the Constitution and the state of Florida is being proposed to be changed to make what is called recreational drugs, recreational marijuana, literally legal, enforceable as a right in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, it will open it up where the so-called vape shops, smoke shops, pot shops, you can walk in and buy marijuana without having to worry about being chided, challenged, or any way prosecuted for it. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, according to the research, marijuana is the gateway. Listen, it's not just a matter of my opinion. It's not a matter of anybody else's opinion. It is the proper research, and I say proper, I'm talking about research done independently and not by the pot industry, the pot growers, and the pot distributors, but by proper researchers. According to the research, marijuana is the gateway to all other drugs, heroin, cocaine, and every other hard drug. Listen, as we talk about cracking down on crime, why not start with the root source in most occasions? That's pot. In fact, during the course of our broadcast today, we're going to talk about some of the most high-profile mass shootings, whether or not they were on marijuana or whether or not a drug-induced mind caused some of that to take place. The overwhelming evidence, ladies and gentlemen, is that that is the case, that it was as a result of marijuana. I'm just going to touch on a couple of those, and then we'll introduce our guest today. For example, Aurora, Colorado, the theater shooting. I'm not going to call the individual's name. Killed 12, injured 70, and according to the context, Holmes, the individual that did the shooting, had a history of mental illness, including schizophrenia symptoms, which may have contributed to his actions. Marijuana use was noted in the case. Tucson, Arizona, the shooting. Killed 6, injured 13. This individual was rejected from the U.S. Army in 2008 after admitting of the use of marijuana, and the reports described him as a habitual marijuana user, exhibiting signs of mental illness, including paranoia. May have aligned with the studies linking heavy cannabis use to psychosis and the individual that is using it. Chattanooga, Tennessee, the shooting. Killed 5, injured 2 at a military recruiting center. Family members reported that the individual had a long history of drug abuse, including heavy use of marijuana, which prevented him from securing even finding a job, prevented him from getting employment. Then we find in that study he suffered with deep depression, bipolar disorder, which were enacted as a result of substance abuse. And I could go on and on and on with the case studies and the linkage to marijuana. So I go back to the thesis, go back to my centrality, my opening remarks. If we're going to crack down on crime, if we're going to crack down on the cause of crime, rape, robbery, mayhem, and all other crimes, why not crack down on the cause and effect of that major problem in our nation today? Ladies and gentlemen, marijuana causes major psychosis, and our guest today is going to talk about the different mind-altering results as a result of marijuana. Yet with all the case studies and records and how horrible it is, marijuana is and the has lasting effects. It has destroyed families. But to move this into the legal domain, the legal area, with a constitutional right, with a constitutional amendment that is being proposed in the state of Florida today, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, how anybody in their right mind could vote yes on it. Right now, the pot industry is on a fast pace, listen, of getting all the dots put in place, the T's crossed, in order to have this on the ballot, the election ballot, in our next election. Ladies and gentlemen, the pot industry will have a proposed constitutional amendment to provide legal pot in the state of Florida. Enough, ladies and gentlemen, if there's enough voters that say yes on it, we'll be in trouble as a state. We'll become the pot magnet for America, and our guest today will talk more about that. if it is placed on the ballot. Looks like it's going to, with several hundred thousand signatures already. But ladies and gentlemen, today we have Brother Lawrence Perkins with us. Brother Perkins has developed a website for edification and information for others that might want to look at it and determine what is happening, called Keep Florida Fresh. Lawrence, thank you so much again for taking time to be with us today on Let's Face the Issues. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure to be here. And this is such an urgent call to action that we need to be preparing ourselves for. This is a significant change from the November of last year. Last year we had the benefit, I'll place it that way, of the pro-life lobby out there that really stood firm and turned back the abortion amendment. Mm-hmm. Cannabis legalization, recreational marijuana amendment failed, but I believe that we were supported by many of those Bible-believing individuals.
In other words, what you're saying, there was enough for other issues to vote that we're able to vote it down because of the total number of votes for those that voted against the abortion amendment, et cetera, that brought them to the polls, helped us defeat that.
I believe it did, and that synergy helped us. They have strategically not raised that issue this time, and they have also changed the language to deflect some of the objections that were focused on last time. Many of those focused on the scent and the other aspects and in public places. They have specifically addressed some of those in the wording of the new amendment. However, this is deceptive. One of the things that we know is that in Miami-Dade, they try to enforce no public space use, but it was unenforceable. They didn't have enough police officers or the ability or resources to be able to enforce that, and that's going to be the case.
Yes, well, number one, as you're saying, they were trying to, in the Miami case, they were trying to enforce that they could not puff pot publicly, but yet if this is passed in this sense, where it's a right, constitutional right, they wouldn't even have the ability to try to enforce that aspect of it.
Well, in the wording of the new legislation or proposed the proposed amendment, they're trying to deflect from mm-hmm. that argument, but we already know that it's not enforceable. There are broader issues here, and the underlying ability or the validity or the normalization of having cannabis, say it directly, THC in someone's system is not going to be discernible. Once it becomes a right of use, for recreational pot, recreational use, then the fact that it's in the bloodstream or in someone's system is not going to be discernible, and therefore it becomes a blanket issue. It's going to affect every aspect of our lives. And even now, there's some other threats that we can talk about at another time. But the ability for someone to ingest THC in even non-smoking forms is growing prolifically. That business is why you see a change in the language, because entities like Trulieve and other producers are looking to broadly expand the availability of THC that can be ingested, not just in gummies, which are slow-acting, but also into things that you can put in your water or put in your juice or put in your Cokes. You can buy any number of things that gets a fast-acting.
Yes, and impact. What I want us to do is, in just a few minutes, to get into the details of some of those peripheral side areas and manners other than just puffing, smoking marijuana. But I want us to deal with what I call a fundamental thing for just a moment, then we'll open our lines and start taking our callers. What's the difference in passing legislation for something like this and a constitutional amendment? Explain that to our listeners.
Well, one of the things that we've seen in Colorado, where they have spent for every dollar of tax revenue or revenues that they've taxed and brought in, they've spent $4.50. There's buyer's remorse. There's many, many other entities out there in California, in Oregon, where there are initiatives that are trying to roll back some of the things that they've done with their legislatures. The difference there is that they have an option to roll back those legislative edicts.
That's right.
That can be turned back. Here in Florida, they're bypassing the legislature because they know that the legislature is not going to take them where they want to go. They're trying to go directly to the public and deceive them and get them to pass a constitutional amendment, which will ingrain this in stone, and it will be virtually impossible to be able to regulate or turn
it. It will become law in perpetuity if that is done. Am I correct?
It will.
Absolutely. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood, and good evening to you both. Good morning to you both.
Thank you.
I'm a witness that it will take you where you don't want to go, because I started with marijuana. I'm less than 60. Less than 100. I started in the 60s, and I've got on every drug in the world, but it started with marijuana. I have stolen. I even stole from my mother a couple of times, and I'm ashamed of that, but thank God that I'm not doing. It went to harder drugs, heroin, cocaine, everything. It just opened up. It was like Pandora's box opened up, and it was like, I need more, more, more. But I thank God he delivered me from that, and I hate to see this thing pass. I'm voting no. If I can vote twice or 6 or 7 times, I vote again.
So, well, you're saying we'll try it the Democratic way. We'll vote soon and often. Kenneth, thank you so much for your testimony, and I pray that others will listen. Brother Lawrence, do you have anything to say about
Kenneth? Yeah, and one thing that I think Kenneth would probably echo is that many of the things that we've seen, especially over coming out of COVID, you had a lot of isolated individuals that went in and tried to self-medicate. They were miserable being at home, but there are studies that show that this self-medication has led to more and more and more acceptance or normalization. And what has happened is the reduced inhibition that has been comes with that intoxication, the motivation drive that is lost, the absolute function of an individual is encumbered. But the things that also happen is the dysfunction that it causes on the mental basis, mm-hmm. that the ability, actual IQ is lost, especially when you're dealing with younger individuals that are exposed to it at a younger and younger age. And one of the things that's happening is the availability of gummies and other non-smoking formats. Those are becoming more and more easily attainable by those younger and younger individuals, mm-hmm. and those are where the serious destruction of mental capabilities and acuity is occurring.
Absolutely. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. Keep looking up. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I also am back from the 60s with smoking marijuana, but I've done it for years and years and years, to the point even my baby daughter, which I'm ashamed, I was ashamed of it, but since I've been delivered, would say, get mama some marijuana and her personality will change. And the way that things are today, you can get it, and I know this for a fact, in the liquid form, in cereal form, any kind of form you want it in. And fentanyl can get into it too. And plus, it just leads you to harder drugs. And it may give a feeling for a minute. I don't know how it is now. But I do know you'll want more, more, and more. And it can literally destroy you. And also, too, the people around you, because they have to suffer with what you go through. And I'm voting no, too.
Absolutely. Well, I would like for Lawrence to speak to what you've just said in your testimony about that in relationship to, and I'm thankful for your testimony and what God can do in delivering one from that. But I want Lawrence to speak to the issue that the marijuana of the 60s is not the marijuana of the 2025 of what is out there today. Yes. And most that look at it in the opposite perspective from which you're seeing it will say, well, you know, I did it, and it was all right. I'm still alive, and it's okay. Lawrence, speak to that for a moment.
Well, it's very different than it has been in the past. One of the things that that in Florida Trend last July, they published a full spread on Trulieve and what Trulieve was doing on the other side of Tallahassee in a 380,000-square-foot facility. They had moved the potency from 3 to 4% THC that was back in the 60s and 70s, now getting 19+%. But that's not the end game. While those are very, very, very potent compared to anything that was available in the past in smoking format, they're able to extract through solvent methods and then create those in concentrated form. As she was talking about, she can get this in all kinds of different formats now, and those are going to be profoundly difficult to meter out. People self-administer and they don't realize what they're getting into and the amount of damage that they're doing to their brains and their functionality. Mm-hmm. There's a clinic in Atlanta, Dr. Daniel Amen, that would encourage people to Google and look at what he has to say, but he has tracked so much of the damage that has been done. This past week, at September 3rd, out in San Diego, there was a piece published where they talk about the effects in California. The National Poison Control calls for children aged 0 to 12 following THC edible exposure that the occurrences of going to the hospital out there is up 752% between 2018 and 752%, excuse me. Those are babies, 0 to 12 years old. When you get into 12 to 17-year-olds, nearly 38% of the marijuana treatment admissions in 2023 for those ages were for marijuana derivative-induced maladies.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's profoundly destructive to society in general. But what's happening to the youth and their easy access, because whether the adults that are smoking or having those edibles or those other formats available to them, whether they're protecting those or not, or they're just using those as a pacifier for some of their children's activities.
Yes.
This is a profound problem.
So, Terry, what you're saying is from a testimonial background, the realization and the recognition of the danger, the destructive nature of marijuana, you're saying that we need to wake up, sit up, be heard and be seen and say no when this comes about. And by the way, and I'll say this, and Terry, and then let you go, I believe that every church needs to develop a flyer and put in the church bulletin asking every member of the church, every visitor in the church, to recognize this is coming up, and in advance of this being on the ballot, of making a decision to vote no, and telling everybody in their contact list to vote no when this comes up. So, Terry, it demands our attention, mm-hmm. our prayers and concern. So thank you so much, and God bless you today.
So,
thank you so much, and have a blessed day. So, Lawrence, what we're saying is that from the statistic that you read recently in relationship to California, same is true for the state of Colorado. Colorado, all crime has gone up. I think it's 547%, all crimes combined. Robbery, murder, all has gone up. Mayhem in the home, spousal abuse, divorce, et cetera, et cetera. Speak to that.
San Diego County, again, this was published last week, 43% of the suicides amongst individuals under 25 years of age involve THC in their systems. At the time of death, 43% under the age of 25, those suicides had marijuana and THC in their systems.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious subject today. We're talking about today we need to keep Florida safe from pot and what's coming up in the next election that will give us an opportunity to say no in the state of Florida to the for the use and the legalization of marijuana. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have the top of the hour news right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.